Good afternoon. I'm Tony Kennett for the Chalkboard Review. Joining us today in Teacher's Lounge is Amy Carney. She's the Deputy Director of Building Education for Students Together. And there's a lot to cover in today's episode, so we're just going to cut all the rest of the intro stuff and hop right in. Amy, thanks for joining us today.
No, thanks so much for having me.
So with all of the chaos leading right up to the November elections, which is going to be a really big midterm, especially considering a lot of school board elections, tell us a little bit about Building Education for Students Together so we can get on some even footing for our listeners who haven't heard of you.
Perfect. So BEST is Building Education for Students Together is all about empowering and educating parents and getting them more involved in their child's education. We kind of go by the three C's. So we believe in building coalitions, which just means building coalitions of parents, community members across the United States. We are all about candidates, just recruiting and training new school board candidates to rise up and run for our school boards across the nation. And we are all about curriculum and making sure we're staying on top of what our kids are being taught in schools. And then we are for choice, for education freedom and empowering parents to decide what that looks like for their child.
So those really are the big three C's. I love acronyms anyway, as an educator who doesn't enjoy a little helpful way to kind of remember or guide some kind of a presentation. But it seems that each one of those three things have come under fire in the last couple of years, specifically since we've seen education start to leave maybe the more traditional establishment hold by teachers unions and by high academia institutions. So let's just walk through the C's and see where we go. So first of all, talking about coalitions. Mm-hmm. What in the world does coalition building mean in an age like today in education advocacy and education work, when every group seems to have their own ideas and minds and everyone is also extremely strict on what they will or won't work with?
Yeah, you're right. Well, I think before 2020, I'm a mom of six, educated in our public schools in Arizona. And I wasn't paying attention to necessarily, what actually was going on behind the scenes in our schools. And so I know when we were locked down and things were at home, I was looking for a coalition, like who else is experiencing what I'm experiencing, right? So I started, finding other like-minded parents who were wondering the same thing as me. And then we just started looking across the nation. And that's actually how I found BEST, because what we're experiencing in Arizona is the same thing we're experiencing in Texas and Pennsylvania and across the country. And so it's just good to know that. Sometimes you just feel alone, as parents and not sure where to turn or where to get your answers or be educated on. And so I found BEST was a great fit where I've learned so much. And I think a lot of it is about education, right? And educating ourselves, not just ranting and raving about what we think might be happening. BEST actually teaches parents what to be looking out for, that might be happening, might not be happening in your school, but things that we need to be paying attention to. And so that's where we are building the coalitions. And it's really important that we can, be together and learn from each other and share what's going on. And so coalitions to us is in-person education and online. We do have, our Facebook groups, but more so getting together and right, live and in person.
So I think that the exact order that you placed the essence of coalition building is something that's really key and a lot of groups don't actually pull into. So as far as coalition building is concerned, it should first be based on experiences shared by the community. We are all experiencing our kids not getting this specific need met, or not being taught these needs, or being taught these inappropriate things, or not getting enough money for this, or when I was a teacher, not having enough freedom to teach this in my classroom or to buy these supplies for my classroom, or we were all wasting too much time in professional development. These common experiences are great because it's from the ground up. You don't have to be a Republican, a Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, conservative, liberal, whatever, to understand that if you and I are experiencing something, that is a commonality between us. When I started teaching at Knightstown in Indiana, it was with a very progressive dude. And we had the same experiences together, though, being close to each other's rooms. And that allowed us to work together in a large part of the way. And I think that we've lost a lot of that because we try to go top down on coalitions instead of starting from an experience base. I don't know. What do you think? I'm off base here?
No, not at all. And I think that's exactly what we're trying to do. Because actually teachers in our schools have been reaching out to the parents because a lot of us I don't know where we live. We're still not allowed back on campus in our district, in our schools. I mean, almost two and a half years later. Right.
That's horrible.
It is. And that's one of the things we've been noticing about coalitions too, is if I'm brave enough to say, I don't think this is right. Right. And then another mom says, yeah, you know what? I haven't been thinking this is right either. And then another mom gets empowered. Right. And it just grows, and it's just because it's not right. And so we should be okay saying, you know what? I think we deserve better. Our kids deserve better. Our teachers deserve better.
I did a social experiment with my students my second year of teaching, and I wanted to encourage them to basically be more aware of the material that we were reading. And I had taught something specifically in the notes and in the class one way. And then on the test, I had asked it in a different way. And I had on purpose, I had marked all of the questions that answered it correctly wrong. And we went back over the test as a class, and I waited to see which student would be the first. And it was amazing. After the first or the second student was like, no, we learned this differently in class. And then they argued it. I ended up giving students who actively participated in the conversation a bonus point. And of course, I didn't mark wrong any of the questions, you know, the students that got the answer correct. And I think that kind of encouragement towards pointing out shared experiences is a really key thing that we've lost in coalition building. But you don't just stay there. The second aspect of coalition building that you focused on was building around kind of a common research base. So what is happening and what isn't happening? I get exhausted. With Chalkboard Review, we get a ton of leads a week that point us towards all different kinds of things happening around the country. Some of them are awful, and we've reported them, and they've been huge breaking news. Some that have made the left look bad, some that have made the right look bad, some that have made no one in particular look bad. It's just news. But sometimes you get reports on a rumor that my brother told me at his kid's school, that the student's best friend heard from the teacher that another teacher had done this, and you're playing telephone. And that there was a scandal in Indiana that a school had started putting litter boxes in classrooms. And it wasn't true, but it could be true, like with the way that the world is kind of going at the moment. And what I like about how you set up your coalition is you talked about the common experiences, and then you set out to work in determining what is and isn't happening. Because the bad things that are happening need to be addressed, and the things that aren't happening don't need to be taking up airtime.
That's right. And that's where we're hoping to educate parents and get them involved, but not to go in front of the school board and rant and rave about something they heard on the national news, right?
And that being in Arizona, you guys had some ugly school board instances, I remember, at least from the news, where some individuals embarrassed themselves, and you could say the coalition parent movement at large. And I know that with you guys out there, no wonder you have such a dedicated base towards educating what is and isn't happening.
Right. Exactly. But that's the goal, is we want to give parents a voice. We want to help them to, you know, look into what's going on respectfully and be educated, though. You don't want to just take your anger and something that you heard on the news and take it to the school board without first, you know, stepping back and talking to your teacher, talking to your principal, talking to your administrator, and see if you can just solve it there first, right? And just start paying attention before we get in front of the microphone.
And then that brings us all the way to the bottom part of the coalition, the thing that was last. And I think that the problem with a lot of coalition building groups is that they put this last one first. So what I'm talking about is, sorry, my keyframe light moved away from me a little bit and cast my face in a really demonic shadow. I looked like Biden in Pennsylvania at a rally.
Oh, that's scary.
Anyway, so I think the weakest point of coalition building that I've seen is when people are really concerned with bringing everyone together, or how do I put this? You put it very well, kind of making sure that everyone has what they need to speak out, and then kind of getting the group larger and larger and larger, and kind of not pushing things over the edge. And I think there's an element of keeping the community together that's important, you know, unifying parents and getting everyone in and marching together. But there does come a time when there are certain individuals in a coalition that will choose alternative objectives, let's say, and they'll be so hellbent on thinking that something desperately is this one way that they have in their head, whether that's progressive, conservative, whatever, that if the group doesn't focus all of its efforts or energies on that, then they'll kind of cause trouble for the coalition. And you see this in school choice coalitions right now. There are some who think that the issues that we need to focus on are racial, and some will say the issue we need to focus on is all economic. But you left that kind of keeping everyone happy aspect to the bottom of the coalition base. Why did you put that one kind of last, whereas you put the fact finding and the common experiences first?
Well, I think that we were seeing that, right? That we needed to get back to parents getting involved, but being educated. And we needed a group who was going to actually do that and strive to educate our parents and not just create, you know, hysteria and a movement necessarily.
Chaos is not one of the three C's.
That's really good, right?
I think we just found the title for the episode.
I like that. Because yeah, there's a lot of chaos. We don't need chaos, but we do need to pay attention. It's important that, you know, that we're involved and we're paying more attention because we have to. So much is going on in our schools that we weren't aware, that we just need to be confident in asking the questions and, you know, holding dialogue and being okay with that. And we want to give parents a voice. And I think that's one of the things we're really good at, is helping parents.
I'd have to agree, because that's one of the things that first tipped us off at Chalkboard about you. So our mutual Evie was, and we were having a small conversation about, you know, what your organization does and how it's functioned in the past. And I've always been amazed at your parents citing research, but also not just droning on about research. A lot of academics will get out there and they'll just drone out. They'll like pick up 8 books and they'll just start reading without knowing really where they're going. And then some parents will just kind of give anecdotal evidence that sounds right, but it's not confirmable. Yet I've found that the best parent coalitions can pull off that shared experiences that is backed and based in cited illustrations and cited data and research. And no wonder that a solid coalition base has grown wildly out of that as a result.
That's right. And we also are part of our coalition building is partnering with other organizations that are doing similar work, right? So we are,
as you should.
Yeah, exactly. So that's part of our coalition building too, is with other like-minded organizations doing similar work, but doing it differently.
Absolutely. And, you know, even though we're a media organization, being Chalkboard Review, an education news and commentary outlet, we enjoy working with many different education advocacy groups who often get us some of the best opinion pieces out there. And that's personally something that I enjoy. We'll have one piece from the AEI group, and then we'll have a more of a Cato libertarian style piece, and then more of a populist piece, and then a Catholic piece comes in. And it's exciting to see. And then a progressive piece will come in right afterward, not limiting it. And I really do enjoy that kind of diversity of perspective that you can pull those common experiences from. Yeah. One of those common experiences being curriculum, which is your second C. So how on earth do you go about addressing curriculum? Because that's a massive subject to cover, and yet it feels like it needs a very teeny tiny paragraph of addressing.
Right. It is.
Like,
it's,
you have
massive
to condense it down, I should say. Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're trying to do is hold webinars, for example, to teach on a subject, social emotional learning. What's out there? What should you be worried about? What is fine? You know, that type of thing. And then, like in my op-ed that, or my opinion piece that I'd written for the Daily Caller, I talked about, I named some exact, you know, outlets like NewsELA, or some people call it News ELA, or these different huge, education organizations that are putting this curriculum online that we have no idea what actually our kids are learning in the classroom, because so much of it is done online. So we are just helping parents figure out what in the world curriculum is being taught in your schools, start there, and then start asking questions about what videos are being shown, what surveys are going along with that curriculum, and diving into your personal experience, right? Your local experience, but we're learning on a national level, and then helping them take it hyper-local.
So I like how you talked about SEL, and this is one of the hot button topics that gets brought up all the time. And it's really frustrating because there are some, SEL is a catch-all, whereas as critical race theory is much more definable. Definable is a word. It's much more easy to define. And it's easy to trace, you know, through its history and where it's come from and how it's gotten here. SEL, although I've read a ton of research on it, a lot of my colleagues may not even agree with me on this, I don't think it's as easy to nail down because it's kind of a watered down term that can mean so many different things, some of which can be good and some of which can be bad. And I like the idea of a webinar approach. I haven't been to one of these webinars. This isn't, you know, a sponsorship, but I do like the idea of a webinar addressing what's out there, what isn't a serious concern, what is a serious concern. How do you then tell your parents to go about addressing concerns, if they have any, with this curriculum? Because that's a really big key piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, well, I think first it starts with paying attention to your school board meeting, watching what's being adopted, and then researching that on your own a little. And then for me personally, you know, going to your principal, going to your administrators and asking them, what program, what are they doing? And it, can you come learn about it? Can you come review it? This is a big thing. I mean, we, none of us have time to do this, but it's important that someone in our community is reviewing the curriculum. What we're seeing where I'm at, and I think it's happening across the country, is that, you know, our kids had so much learning loss, and now we're taking even more academic time away from them and replacing it with these social emotional learning questionnaires and surveys and videos. And I've, you know, is that what we want? Is that really why we send our kids to school, is to talk about their feelings and not necessarily the facts? So yeah, to social emotional learning is a big thing. It's starting to come in and take over more probably academic time, instructional time than it should. And you need to look into it. And then you as a parent can decide if that's something that you think is good for your student or great for, you know, then that's great. And if it's not, then you need to be asking questions. And I know a lot of people will, you know, pull their children out of it or see how they, you know, can push back on it in their own schools. But right now we're trying to still teach people about panorama education, right? And what are they bringing in? And some of these bigger—
The panorama names. Surveys.
Yeah, and the ESSER money that, you know, we had millions of dollars coming into our schools in federal funding from COVID relief. And a lot of districts are spending money on panorama social emotional learning, you know, surveys.
I would love to talk at length at some point about how the COVID relief funding and also additional funding from state and federal systems has gone into non-academic materials and also not into like teacher salaries so the school can afford to hire better teachers and things like that. We don't have quite enough time. There's a story in Indiana I'm really interested in. You're pricking my mind. I guess we'll have to come back on this one later. But that brings us along to kind of our last core framework in the three C's to talk about today, and that is choice. Because a lot of these systems, especially in data collection and SEL, they're not opt-out. Or I guess I should say they are opt-out. You know, they're not opt-in. Your kid is automatically sorted into them. In some situations, it can be incredibly difficult to opt your child out. And then there's the issue, if you don't like the curriculum that your school is using, you have to put a huge amount of weight on the teacher to find alternate curriculum for it. You know, like, let's say you don't want the teacher to use this book with your kid. Well, now the teacher has to go and find a different book and create a whole new list of lesson plans and figure out how she's going to teach that to your kid along with the other things, or how he's going to test your kid on this. And it's just such a huge burden when a lot of individuals think it doesn't have to be. So why does your coalition focus on choice as the third C? Because that's a pretty big pillar to be one of your core ideals.
Yes. Well, we do believe that public education needs to be a good choice in our communities, right? A lot of families can't move their children out. So we do think, but we also think, like you said, if you're not liking the social emotional learning that your schools are doing, all these different things, then maybe it's best you can take your child to another option where they can be educated, you know, according to your values or your desires. And so that's what we you know, advocate for parents. Instead of fighting everything, maybe you need to go find another option. And here in Arizona, you know, we just are passed that ESA bill for all. And there's so much controversy around it because, you know, in our district, even parents, myself included, have been told, well, if you don't like it, you can leave. If you don't like it, you can leave. That's kind of a narrative, right? But they don't want you to take the money with you. You know, now that's another story. So parents are stuck, I think, a lot because they're not feeling heard. They're not being included as a partner.
But their money is still being taken from their wallet and their taxes to go to only one location.
Right. And so
their kids are being taken to schools, for that matter, to those schools with which they may not want to go.
Right. So I think what's happening in Arizona, you know, is a positive, right? And I think it's going to put pressure on our public schools to rise up and create a product, an education product that the community wants and deserves.
I've been watching Corey DeAngelis track all of the new applicants to be a part of Arizona's new educational choice directive. And that's kind of an interesting thing, because being from Indiana myself and also following Florida and Wisconsin, working in Wisconsin in Governor Walker's office, and then being very close to some of the Florida people, it's weird to see a new state kind of leap forward into the lead on school choice. Mm-hmm. And when you're building coalition type movements with parents, and your state, at least out in Arizona, although you're bigger than just that local area, with Arizona leaping ahead as quickly as possible in the choice atmosphere, I bet it's pretty exhausting to keep track of all of the things in three pillars. We don't really have to keep track of a whole lot in Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Michigan's in lock and chain still on school choice. We don't really have to update our data on that much. You guys must have to be doing that like week in and week out.
Yeah, well, that's why we team with other, you know, like-minded organizations like Love Your School here. It does a lot of the choice work. Goldwater Institute, you know, is doing a lot with it.
Love the guys at Goldwater.
Yeah. So I do, you know, I've done webinars with both of them. So they're doing the heavy lifting, right? And then they can educate us, and then we can in turn educate our parents and get them involved. And, you know, parents shouldn't be made to feel villainized if they need to move their child to, you know, a different form of education if they're not getting their needs met in our public schools. So
along those lines, you talk about parents who feel as though their kids' needs aren't being met, their family's needs aren't being met. This brings me to something that I've talked to a couple of parents about in the last couple of weeks, and I thought it would really be kind of a good way to close out our segment here on the three C's, is that let's say that I, as a parent, may agree with you on, you know, the idea of coalition building. I agree with you on how we should address curriculum and how we should do our research. I agree with you on school choice issues, but I don't really want to get out there and be an advocate. You know, I don't want to, you know, I'm worried as a parent that I'm going to be demonized for being political, or maybe I'm already as stressed out as it is. The reason I'm frustrated with all this is I just want to come home after work, know my kid is doing well, raise and be with my family. What would you say to those parents who are terrified that they don't really want to get involved? They think that's what the coalition might be. And that's a genuine mm-hmm. concern, at least from mm-hmm. some that I've spoken to. What would your advice be, or I don't know, even just your general thoughts be on those parents who are feeling that way at this moment?
Yeah, I think we're seeing the majority of parents feel like that. Like you said, they're just trying to get through the day, most of them, and let alone. And so I think it just takes talking to your neighbor in the school parking lot. And we're doing that. We're meeting for a coffee just with like five moms next week, new moms, just because they want to start learning about what's going on. And so I never wanted to be an education advocate either. I wasn't looking for this. But I think we all need to be in our own right. Another thing that we've been seeing is that a lot of retirees, or those, you know, with whose kids are grown now, are starting to try and be mentors and try and, you know, educate themselves so they can help these parents. They can be the ones to show up at school boardings, or they can go review the curriculum. And we're seeing a lot of that now.
I've seen a lot of retired school board members kind of mm-hmm. jump in. I don't know if you've seen this mm-hmm. out there. I've seen a lot mm-hmm. of retired school board members kind of get back into the fray and say, look, we did things differently when I was in the school board, and we treated these issues differently. I saw a lot of parents and grandparents whose kids are all gone. They just think that, like you said earlier, a lot of parents, you may not be able to take their kids out of the public school. I think more than that, I think the public schools should be a good place, you know, a great option, you know, not a place that we're just trying to escape from, but that the public school should be as good as local, private, charters, parochials, homeschooling, whatever, because that's a big anchor point in the community. It's what American society
Absolutely.
Spread west on from Indiana Absolutely. To Arizona, funnily yeah. enough.
That's right. So, that's right. And that's why we have another C, which is candidates, because I think it's important. I'm actually running for school board in Scottsdale because parents, we weren't paying attention and we were leaving it to the experts, right, to run for school board. And so I think that's another thing that parents can vote, you know, vote parents, proven parent leaders onto their board who they know represent them, who they know they can trust, because they've known in the community for years. And we start to shift our leadership on our school boards.
We've just started a new series at Chalkboard Review called, well, we don't really know quite know what it's called yet. The idea is what we're in love with, though. And the idea is, over the last couple of decades, we've had a lot of school board candidates writing letters to the editor in their local newspapers. Well, a lot of those have kind of died off, or they're, let's say, very partisan, or they're definitely not read as much as they used to have been read. And so we've started a series in which we encourage school board candidates to write about why they're running for Chalkboard Review. We would love to share those stories around the country with others who might be considering running, or just might want to get involved in the education process at all. Just know what's going on. You'd be surprised how many think their story is so mundane, yet it really resonates with another person who decided to run, or another person who's just interested in school boards in general, or heck, just someone who enjoys reading education articles. And I think that that's one of the most optimistic things that I've seen in the last couple of months, is the number of people who are putting their time aside and putting their energy into running for school board, not to be in the media, not to be political, not for a title, which is kind of what you saw in the last couple of decades. School board races used to just be popularity contests in a lot of cases. But now it's actually becoming a way to return investment into the community. I got to tell you, that is a really great note to end on as the final C is candidates. I'm looking forward to seeing some great candidates over the next couple of years. Where can people go to find out more about BEST and the work that you guys are doing?
Yeah, our website is parentsknowbest.com. So building education for students together. And you can find all kind of resources. We've got a great YouTube channel with our educational videos, and we just are continuing to grow and grow and grow every day. So we appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. We'll make sure that that is on the chyron on screen and in the description below. Amy, thank you so much for joining us today and for helping us break down the three C's of great coalition building.
All right. Thank you so much.